Glory to God. Hallelujah. Everybody excited to be in church today? I sure know I am. Amen. You know, church is become a thing in our lives anyways. It's become a thing that we just don't like to miss. You know, we just don't want to be away from it. It's kind of like, you know, I was thinking about this actually earlier today as I was actually kind of doing some studying on some things, different things, not so much the message that these things necessarily pertain to. But I was thinking about them, you know, and so often we think about this life and we think about the afterlife, you know, or people think about it that way, you know, or generally why people are here, they're consumed with this life and what this life has to offer. But you understand that we don't really have two different lives. Amen. There's a transition period, but this life is about moving toward that life. Amen. That life that's full of God. Amen. And so we understand that through Jesus' blood, through his sacrifice, that we enter or we can enter that life here. That eternal life does not begin once we die, but eternal life begins once you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the rest of your life is not spent like, oh, I only have a few years left. No, the rest of your life is spent in preparation for the next part of your life. Amen. Glory to God. You know, when we if we go on a trip or something and we go to a different town, you know, there's things that we want to accomplish in that town, but then we move on to another town often, or we come home, or one of the two. Amen. And that's very much the same way that this life in heaven is, and we need to look at it that way. That we have things to accomplish while we're in this place, amen, or in this town. But when we move on to the next one, then we have other things that God will have for us too. And so life shouldn't be something that, you know, we think, oh, when we pass away. No, we just change locations. We go to a new spot. And so we need to really start looking at these things like that. Amen. So at any rate, what I was getting on when I started staying, that the reason I started getting on that was because once my wife and I, once we realized what this life with God was, we started realizing that church was just part of it. Amen. That it's like if you know, when you grow up, a lot of times the youth will have a hard time with this, but when you grow up from being a youth and you get out there into the world, one thing you realize that becomes part of life is a thing called work. Amen. And it just is part of life. You know, some people resist it and fight it, but we know that their lives don't go so good when you resist and fight those things that you must do. And so even if there are things that we don't enjoy, and I'm not comparing to church to work or anything like that, amen, but I'm just saying that even if there's things in life that we don't enjoy, we know that there's parts that they're part of our life. Amen. And so, you know, if you go to a restaurant, you can't really say that a restaurant is part of your life unless you own the restaurant or unless you go to that restaurant every day. Amen. But, you know, typically speaking, when people go out to eat, they don't consider, you know, if you're going to stop by McDonald's on the way home after church tonight, you probably, even though you've been there before, you don't consider McDonald's part of your life. Amen. It's not part, it's just something that you do in your life. But church shouldn't be like McDonald's in our lives. Amen. Church isn't something that's just something that we do once in a while we walk this thing out, but church is something to become part of, amen. And because it's being because church is not just about coming to a building, but it's about being part of a body, amen. A body of believers, a body of strength, a body of power. Glory to God. A body that's in the presence of God. Hallelujah. And so when we understand that, there's a transition. But there's a lot of people out there, a lot of Christians out there even, that treat church as like it's just like it's McDonald's or it's like an Applebee's or a Walmart. It's just something that they do once in a while just to get the very necessity. But no, that's not what it is. This is life, amen? And so when we don't get to be here, you know, there's something that's missed in that. My wife said, you know, like I said, that I wasn't here last week. And so I was, you know, I feel like it just feels like I haven't been in the pulpit forever, but and she, you know, put a lot of pressure on me because because I'm raring to go, and she said it must be good. But praise the Lord, we don't put pressure on me, put pressure on the Holy Ghost, amen. But I wasn't saying that she was putting pressure, I was just joking. But praise God, hallelujah, we're back in the saddle, ready to go, raring to go, praise the Lord, and see what all that God has for us, amen. Glory to God. Well, tonight's message is is called Do You Dare Believe? Praise the Lord. Do you dare believe? And of course, tonight we're going to be talking about the plan of God, and we're going to be talking about believing and trusting in God and all these things that we normally talk about. But, you know, we're going to come at it. I believe it's a little bit different angle, just something else, another angle, not a different angle in the sense that it's something new or anything like that, but just we're going to look at it from a different place, amen, different point of view and what God has for us, amen. But, you know, the plan of God is so incredibly important to our lives, and it's something that I think so many people don't really connect with, so many believers don't really connect with, you know, and the reason I think a lot of times is because people don't really know what it is to believe. They don't really fully understand what it is to believe. Even people in our circles, you know, we have these ideas, we have these churchy things we say, we have these this Christianese language that we talk. You know, I was thinking about that sometimes, you know, once you learn the lingo, you can sound like a pretty good Christian, amen? But you know, we're not fooling God by just sounding like a good Christian, are we? Because God knows our hearts, He knows our minds, He knows the things that we think about, He knows the things we struggle with, He knows the things that we deal with, praise the Lord. And so we're not convincing anybody important, amen, if we're convincing anybody at all. Praise the Lord. The plan of God is like a book. Hallelujah. There's no point in going on to chapter 2 until you read chapter 1. You know, if you just pick up and have you ever done that? If you just, I don't know if you do this, even in scripture, a lot of times I'll do this. My heart will be drawn to a verse, or somebody will quote a verse or something, and something will stir on the inside of me. And so I'll go to the Bible, I'll go to that verse, I'll look that verse up, go to it. But one thing that I always like to do when I go to a verse and I'm studying it out or I'm going to use it, even if I only use one verse, is I always like to go back and read the context. Amen. I like to look at what's going on around it. Why? Because if you just jump right into something, so often you can miss what is actually being portrayed. I think a lot of people do this. They'll pull scriptures out of context. One of the ones that I scripture I absolutely love, I remember when I first learned it, praise the Lord, but it's one that that people often take out of context is Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, we love to use that on you know, like to put it on greeting cards or birthday cards or get better cards or, you know, congratulations or whatever kind of card you want to use. We'll put it on bookmarks or whatever, or we, you know, put it on little things and frame them and put them on the wall and doilies and all that stuff. Praise the Lord. Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, praise the Lord. And that is true. I'm not coming against that. But that scripture is in context. That scripture has to do with people who are in the plan, praise the Lord, and who are giving themselves for the work of God. It does not mean that all people can do all things because Christ is strengthening them, because the truth of the matter is there's a lot of Christians that are not being strengthened by Christ because they are not doing the plan of God. They're not in the will of God. But see, you wouldn't know that if you don't just if you just pull that scripture out and read it. And you know, those things can be exciting. I remember back when I was a younger Christian, I remember there was a lot of you go into a Christian bookstore and man, they would have scriptures like that, like Jeremiah 29:11, wonderful scripture, we love it. You know, a lot of times people look at that one wrong too. But you'll see those, you'll see little posters, little feel-good posters that you hang in your office, and they have that, you know. I think maybe Philippians 4:13, once I saw it with a cat hanging off the edge of a desk or something, or a couch or something, you know, like that. Praise the Lord, and do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And those things stir us up, they excite us, and they should, the word should excite us. I'm not trying to take that from us. But we have to remember that it comes in contact, the context, with doing and following the plan of God for our lives. Amen? And if we are not people who do and follow the plan of God for our lives, then we're not people whose Christ's strength applies to. Even if you're a Christian, even if you're born again, if you aren't fulfilling the plan of God, if you're not interested in the plan of God, then you know you have to wonder whether God is going to be much interested in what you're doing. And the truth of the matter is, He really isn't. Now, God does care for us. He loves us, and He cares about what we do and what matters to us. But listen, if you just want to shun the plan of God, if you want to push all the things that God wants you to do, if you know the Bible says to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then Jesus will take care of the rest, praise the Lord. He promised that. All those things would be added to us, he goes on to say. But if you just shun those things, God isn't interested in what you're doing in the sense that he's going to look at it and say, well, that's okay. Go ahead and just do everything opposite what I tell you, and we'll give you what you want anyways. See, that's how you make spoiled, rotten kids that don't do anything. Amen? We shouldn't do it. God doesn't either. So there's no point going on to chapter 2 until you read chapter 1. And so we have to understand this. The plan unfolds in our lives, the plan of God in our lives. We have to start. There's steps that we follow. As we seek after God, as we learn his word, as we become more acquainted with him, he is going to reveal more of his plan to you. Now, you might sit there and say, I have no idea what God's plan is for my life. Praise the Lord. Start at the beginning. Because when you start at the beginning, when you read chapter 1, chapter 2 makes a lot more sense. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. When you read chapter 2, chapter 3 makes a lot more sense. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So, excuse me. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Praise the Lord. We're going to start here. Hebrews 11, 1. And originally I planned to just touch on this, but I don't think I can just touch on it because I never can. Excuse me, there's so much good in here, amen? Hebrews 11, 1. Originally, I was going to just read Hebrews 11, 1, and then I read verse 2, and I thought, man, that's good too. Might as well throw that in. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can I have my water, please? Excuse me. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Thanks, babe. The evidence of things not seen. For by faith, glory to God, the elders obtained a good testimony. Excuse me, what did they obtain a good testimony? Promise you it's not coronavirus. To be completely honest with you, on the way down here, my wife ran in the store to get some water, and she came out with a packet of pistachio nuts. You know, you break the shell open and they have the little things in there, and that's what's getting me right now. it's a little one of the things tickling in my throat, praise the Lord. And so I'm not gonna infect you, but it is my wife's fault. Yes, amen, praise the Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. So the testimony, praise the Lord. No, I skipped ahead there. Yes, by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. What did they obtain a good testimony from? By their faith. Okay, now we're going to go look at faith here in a second, but I want to focus on this part because the testimony is what everybody is after. When the Bible says, for by it, the elders obtained a good testimony, what it means is that was their victory. That your testimony is what you're after. When you go to God and you say, Lord, this is what I need in my life. When you come to you come to that place where you need change or whatever, or however it is, you need finances, you need whatever, you want a good testimony. A good testimony is saying, I was in lack, or I was in need, or I was without this, or whatever, however it looks, and this happened, praise the Lord, and now this is what I've got, amen, and this is how the Lord came through for me. That's what the testimony is. The testimony is the victory. Glory to God. In other words, so everybody is looking for the testimony. Amen? But notice how the testimony is obtained. By faith. Amen? And so we have to understand that the testimony is only going to be obtained through faith. It is not obtained apart from faith. Some people say, I don't like that faith camp. Well, I'm sorry if you don't like that faith camp, but that's the camp that Jesus is in. So if you're a Christian not liking the faith camp, you're not liking the same camp that Jesus was in, that Paul was in, that Peter was in, and all the other apostles, glory to God, and all the disciples and all the people that ever did anything, they were in a faith camp. Amen. Faith is incredibly important. It's incredibly important to God. Amen. But we see here, so we go back up and look at that again. Now, faith is the substance. When it says faith is a substance, faith is really our belief, amen? It's our trust. That's what it is. When we say faith, it's not just like, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Captist, I'm a Batholic. You know, none of that stuff, you know, that's not what your faith is. Well, it can be what your faith is, but sometimes we make it very superficial. We just say, this is my faith. really what people are saying by that is they're saying, this is what I believe. Amen? Glory to God. This is my faith. This is what I believe. When I have the Word of God, glory to God, this is what builds everything in me. This is everything that I care about. I don't care about putting a name on the door. I don't care about, you know, people ask us so often, what are you? I'm a Bible believer. I'm a Christian. It doesn't matter what I am. We're non-denominational in the sense that we don't side with a specific denomination saying they're right more than they're right. Because if the one thing that I've learned is that they're all wrong and they're all right somewhere. Yeah. Amen. Some of them are a lot more wrong than others, and some are a lot more right than others, praise the Lord. But none of them are perfect. And every one of them can learn something from someone else. And so I'm not going to side with someone I automatically know is wrong. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I love the Baptists, but guess what? They're wrong somewhere. So I'm not going to call myself that. I love Catholics, but guess what? They're wrong somewhere. I'm not going to side with that. I love Pentecostals, but guess what? They're wrong somewhere. Everybody's going to be wrong somewhere. One thing I know about the Bible, it's just not wrong. One thing I know about this faith is it's not wrong. The Word of God is never wrong. It always helps. It always works. And because the Word of God is never wrong, this is where I side. I don't need a name on the door to tell me who I am because I'm named by the Son of Christ, or the Son of God, amen? Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. It's by His name that I have victory. It's by His name that I get through. It's by His name that I have authority. It's not by because I've called myself this or called myself that. And so people have to understand it is important. Now, that doesn't mean if you go to one of these other churches or if somebody is out there listening and say, well, I go to a Baptist church. So are you saying that I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm saying hold this to a higher, or hold this as your standard, not that. You can go there. There's nothing wrong with that. But this is always going to be your guide. This is always going to be your standard. Praise the Lord. In fact, I've been a little bit nitpicky lately, even in our own camp. I've been looking at things that we do, and I say, where do I see this in the Word? And I'll just tell you the truth. If I don't see it in the Word, I'm having a harder time holding on to it. Now, sometimes I take things to my leadership, and I go, hey, where do we see this in the Word? And they say, well, we see it here, we see it here, we see it here. Okay, well, now I can take that, and I can run with that. Amen? Praise the Lord. The other thing that I don't do is I don't go, there's a lot of things in the Bible that aren't major doctrines. In other words, there's a lot of things in the Bible that it maybe is mentioned a little bit, but not mentioned a lot. Now, what do we know if it's mentioned a little bit? Well, God mentioned a little bit, it's pretty important. But if He didn't mention it a lot, it's not as important as the things He mentioned a lot. And so what we need to focus on is not the things He only mentioned a little. I'm not saying ignore them. Of course we don't ignore them. We don't ignore any scripture. But we don't focus on them. Where we focus is on the things He mentions a lot. Things like love. God mentions love an awful lot. Amen? There's an awful lot about love that we need to learn. And guess what? You'll perfect it. You'll spend the rest of your life perfecting it. Amen? If you care to do so at all. Jesus said that's the number one thing. Amen? So He even made it more important to us. He said, it's not just a thing, it's the number one thing. This is the greatest commandment, amen? There's no commandment greater. And we know that if we're going to follow in God's footsteps, praise the Lord, this is important. Why do I say all this? Because it is important to understand our faith. Our faith is the Word of God. Our direction is the Word of God. If we understand that, if we get an understanding of this, then we depart from all those things that keep us held down, and we're freed into the liberty that Christ paid for. We're freed into the things that God wants us to get into. See, when we're not bound by ideals or ideas of what the Word says, but we're bound by what Christ actually said or what the Word actually tells us. And I say this all the time. When I say what Christ actually said, I'm not talking about just the words in red. The words in red are important, but so are the words in black, or they wouldn't be in this book. Yeah. Amen. The Lord gave us, this is the whole counsel of God. This is that we need. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Anything else, the Holy Spirit, when He gives us the Holy Spirit is also our counselor, but He counsels us with this Word and not just the words in red, amen? And so the words in red are important, but the words in black are important too. A lot of people say, well, Jesus didn't specifically say this or that. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, and I believe this wholeheartedly, I may say something that's really going to rattle some of your religious thinking, something that might pat your cat a little backwards, amen? Praise the Lord. And I'm not just talking about cats because Mark's got a house full of them right now. Amen. Glory to God. But this is a good saying. Amen. Pet your cat backwards. Praise the Lord. But the words in red that we see quoted is Jesus saying, I have my doubts to whether there were actually verbatim quotes from Jesus. And what I mean was I believe that they probably were the essence of what he said. But I'm just going to ask you something. If I say something to you tonight and you go to repeat it even tomorrow, you may get it just a little bit off, won't you? Now, the essence of what I said, you can hold on to, and there's things that I've had ministers say to me that have stayed with me years and years, still haven't left. There'll be foundational things in my life. I know I could say what they said, but I might not use every word that they said. You know what I mean? And so we have to understand that they were giving accounts of things that Jesus said and spoke, but that doesn't mean that somebody was there transcribing every word that Jesus said as he said it. Praise the Lord. That does not mean that this isn't the word of God. No less, because we know that it is the word of God. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. So belief, all that just to find out what belief in faith is. Amen? Belief is the substance. Or in other words, it is the material manifestation. When you have substance, when something is substantive, the substantial? Yeah, and when something is of substance, praise the Lord, it is something that is tangible. It's something you can grab onto, amen? It's something you can point to and say, that, amen? It's not just a concept, but faith is, or belief is the substance. It is the manifestation of it. We have to get that. Amen? Our belief, what we believe, is the manifestation of our faith. Yeah. Glory to God. And so when we go back up there and read that belief is the substance of the things that are hoped for, it means that the faith is the substance of it, not the obtaining. Now, the hope for, again, whenever we read hope in the New Testament, I think most of the time, if not all the time, it means the thing that's expected. So in other words, faith is the thing that is expected, is the substance of the thing that is expected. You don't need that thing in order to prove your faith. You need your faith to prove that thing. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. The evidence of things not seen. Our faith is the evidence of the things that we don't see. Glory to God. Now, how does all this play in? Because we, you know, for good reason, because God loves faith, God isn't just walking around with us every single day. We don't need that. That wasn't the way that he designed it to be. And so we have to understand, in order to fulfill the plan of God, the first place we have to come from is a place of faith in understanding who God is, how he does things, and how we interact with him. If we don't understand those things, we'll never get to that place of fulfilling a plan. Now, fulfilling the plan of God is not hard. Finding out what the plan of God is not hard. I will put this before you, and I say it with all surety, that if somebody is a Christian and they don't know what the plan is for their life, it's because they have not submitted or they have not sought. Yeah. Amen? Or they have not both. Yeah. See, God has a way for you to do it, but you have to be willing to submit and you have to be willing to seek. If you don't do those things, if you're not seeking after the plan of God, if you don't care, and the reason I say this is because what so many people are doing, remember what I was saying about all that stuff about life? Life just being a transitional thing, that life doesn't stop for a believer. It just continues going, just in a different place. See, if you don't understand that, then you look at this life as this life, that life as that life, and you've never connected the two. And your plan is not found in that life or this life. It is found in the mix of all of it. Amen? When God brings you into his family, he brings you into a plan. Praise the Lord. You can sit there and say, I don't know what the plan is. You're already in the plan. And see, the plan comes by walking the plan out. The plan comes by living. See, well, a lot of people they're like, well, maybe if I go over here and look for it, if I go over here and look for it, if I, you know, I no, you don't have to go looking for the plan. The plan will materialize as you turn the pages. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So belief is a substance, it is a material manifestation. I want to read this in Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified. It says, now faith is the assurance. It is the confirmation, the title deed. I always loved how my pastor preached about this when he said it's a title deed. When you have the title to something, you own it. If you have the title to a house, that house is yours. Amen? If you have the title, your name's on the title. You know what I'm saying. Glory to God. If you have the deed to a property, it is yours. What would happen if someone disputed that? Well, you could go to court. Maybe they take you to court. Maybe they get police involved and all this stuff. They take you to court. You go to court and you go before the judge and you say, here's my deed. What is that? It's proof. The judge won't argue it. Yeah. It's in your name. Yeah. Your name's on the deed. It's yours. Praise the Lord. That's what faith is. Faith is the assurance. Let me say it this way. Faith is the assurance of the plan of God for your life. Yeah. See, a lot of people are looking for it, but it's already theirs. It's there. It's just you have to connect to it. And we're gonna get into this more. Amen. So faith is the assurance. It is a confirmation, the title deed of things we hoped for or expected, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Praise the Lord. It is by faith that the obtaining happens. It is your belief that the obtaining happens. So how does this apply to the plan? If you don't believe God has a good plan, you can't obtain it. Because you are already outside of it. You're outside of faith. And it is, how do we obtain the testimony? Through faith. Glory to God. How do we obtain the title deed? Through faith. You don't have an actual title deed to your life, do you? You don't have a title deed to the plan of God. That doesn't mean that the one doesn't exist, but the way that you obtain it is by your belief or your trust in the fact that there is one. See, this is a whole different thing. See, if you go at something like, I don't know, if I'm going looking for keys and I have no idea where they're at, they could be anywhere, right? But if I go looking for my keys and I know the last place I put them, I can be sure that I'm going to go find them. In fact, I try, and, you know, my family always throws this off for me. Praise the Lord. But I try to always put things that I use regularly in the same place. I have like one of three or four places for my keys. Do you know what I do when I go looking for my keys? I go to the first place I always look. And when it's not there, I go to the second place that I might put them. And if it's not there, I go to the third place. And if it's not there, I go to the fourth place. And if it's not there, then I start yelling. Who moved my keys? Who took my keys? Because obviously, I didn't. If I didn't put them if they're not one of the three or four places, glory to God. Hallelujah. But when I know that they're there, I'm not rattled by it. You know, I don't wake up in the morning and my first thought of my day is, I got to go somewhere. Where are my keys? I know that I probably put them in one of the few places. Glory to God. See, that's faith in what I've done. It's faith in something. Amen. And the same thing goes with the plan of God. If we don't even know that God has a plan for us, then you can't walk it out. Because you can't have faith in that. Amen. It is by faith that you obtain. So if you're going to obtain the plan of God for your life, you must believe something to be true. You must believe, number one, that there is a plan. Then you must believe in aspects of that plan according to the truth. Because if you don't believe in the aspects of the plan according to the word and what the word says about the plan, you're still going to miss the plan. Now, all of this is not hard. We just have to submit ourselves and resign ourselves to the fact that the word of God is truth and that what he said goes. And so if he set it up to be this way, it will be this way. If he says there's a plan, thus and so, there is a plan. Glory to God. And all I have to do is walk into it. All I have to do is access it. And you access it first by faith, by understanding. You know, you may say, though, this sounds like basic stuff, Pastor Jeff. I know it's basic, but you know something that's the truth? Probably 90% or more of today's Christians have no idea of this stuff. They have no idea. I've talked to Christians left and right, Christians that are out there looking for the plan of God. They're out there trying to figure out the purpose of life. You don't have to go looking, and we're gonna see that too here in a minute. Amen? Praise the Lord. Belief is not just a belief that a thing will happen, but it is complete trust. Listen to this. is complete trust in God's methodology, which would include a desire to adhere to his ways, his commandments, and his plans. Let me say that again. Belief is not just a belief that a thing will happen, but it is complete trust in God's methodology, which would include a desire to adhere to his ways, his commands, and his plan. In other words, God has made things to work a certain way. I connect to that. I'm going to connect. I may not know all the ways that God works, but I'm going to say right now, as a matter of fact, I connect to it. I remember when I was younger, I was being bombarded by one of the pseudo-Christian cults. I worked in this place, and there was full of them. They all, a bunch of them from this cult worked there. And they were trying to convince me of things other than what I knew. And I didn't know very much in the Word. But I remember very clearly, this is one of those statements that marked me, and I believe it came out of my spirit, but I remember saying very clearly to this person, I had been born again by that time, I said, I don't know all the Word of God, but one thing I do know is that it is truth, that it's all true. I believe it with all my heart. I had no idea what I was even saying at the time when I said it. I believe with all my heart it came out of my spirit, but it was a faith statement, and it was something that I have held on to my entire life. And that basic, that very basic one thing that I believed changed my entire life. If there's nothing, just believing that this Word of God is, that this is the Word of God and this is truth and there is no other truth that supersedes this, glory to God, praise the Lord, just believing that changed my life. It set me up for everything that I would walk in, walk out of, walk through in my life, amen, every victory that I had, it all started at that place of belief, amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I went through a lot of hell after that. And the reason I went to a lot of hell is, though I believed those things, I didn't adhere to those things. I didn't get into the Word and find out what the Word said. So I would say things like, the Lord gives and takes away, not realizing that isn't scriptural, that isn't what God, the way God works. I believed that God would put sickness on people. And so I didn't believe things, good people. And so I didn't believe that things the way that they actually worked. I didn't adhere to God's way. And because of that, I couldn't have a full understanding or a full assurance in the plan of God. Because how could you have a full assurance in the plan of God who could any minute rip it all away from you? If faith is an assurance, and we are told to live by faith, how can you have any assurance if it could be gone at any second? See, this is the first thing about God's plan that many people miss. They think that, even when they screw up, even good Christians, when they screw up, they think God is just looking for a way to tear it away from them. Listen, God is not trying to punish us. God is not looking for ways to punish you. When you screw up, God is not looking for a way to punish. Let me say this again. When you screw up, and you inevitably will, if you haven't today, you will tomorrow, and if you don't tomorrow, you will the next day. But when you screw up, even when you screw up bad, God is not looking to try to punish you. He is looking to set you free. Glory to God. That understanding will change your life. It will change everything you do. It will change the way you interact with God. It will change the way you interact with Christians. It will change the way that you go to church. It will change the way that you pray. It will change the way you read the Word. It will change every aspect of your life, because that is the foundation of truth. Glory to God. That's where we have to start. We have to start with truth. But if you don't believe truth, then you will never fulfill the plan of God, because you will spend your life thinking, running from Him. You will spend your life thinking at any moment that it could all be over, that it'll all be bad, that it'll all go south. But that's not God. God is one who always lifts up. He is one that always brings higher. He is one who takes the worthless and makes them usable. Praise the Lord. That's our God. He does exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. And yet we spend so much time in self-condemnation thinking, well, I screwed up so bad, God can't use me. You know what I've seen? I have seen God use people that have screwed up in the worst ways, but He still uses them. Look through church history. Church history is full of a bunch of screw-ups. It's full of addicts. It's full of losers. It's full of people who never made the mark even when they tried. Glory to God. is full of people who have been set free. Amen. And keep themselves bound. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But God still uses them. And he'll still use you. Now, none of this is an excuse to go out and live like a moron. Amen. None of this is to go out and say, hey, I'm just going to go do whatever I want to do. That's not what this is, because that is completely the opposite of what I'm talking about. That is not living as a Christian at all, and that's doing the exact same thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. One cannot have faith and at the same time oppose truth, because faith, Christian faith, godly faith, true faith is, as a matter of a fact, a strict adherence to the truth. Faith is, I adhere to the truth and I don't change. Praise the Lord. I change by the truth, but you understand, but I don't change from that adherence to the truth. It's not one day good and one day not. One day I'll be a Christian, one day I won't. One day I'll follow, or I'll follow these scriptures, but I won't follow these scriptures. Doesn't work that way. I'll follow this truth of the word, but I won't follow this truth of the word. You know, people get so confused all the time. They talk about interpretations of the Bible. We don't interpret the Bible. Praise the Lord. We read the Bible and listen to what God says about it. Glory to God. See, the problem is when we try to interpret the Bible. When we try, well, what did God mean when he said this? Well, look at the Bible. Look at what it says. It's not hard to figure out. It is not hard to figure out when God says to love, to love. And it's not hard to know what love is, because he tells us what love is. You know, everybody's out there like, love is love. Love is this. Love is that. 1 Corinthians 13 will tell you all what love is. That's what love is. That's what it is. If you want to love the way God loves, 1 Corinthians 13 will tell you how to do that. If you do anything opposite of that, then you are no longer loving as God loves. And so you find yourself outside that realm. So if you accept that there is love outside of God, what God said love is, then what you've done is you've accepted an untruth. You've stepped out of faith and can no longer live by it. You may live in part by it, but you can't live fully by it. Praise the Lord. I hope that makes sense. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now we're going to see here some things that are really interesting. And some things that God showed only me. Turn with me to John 14. We're going to see what God showed only me. But see, the thing is, if you go to John 14, where I'm going, you're going to find out what God showed only me, because he's going to be showing only you too. Hallelujah. So he's only showing the ones who are looking at it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to read some scriptures that are argued about a lot. Some ideas and concepts in scriptures that are argued about a lot. I'm going to put this forth before you, and I want you to listen to me. If you start trying to interpret these scriptures and figuring out what they mean, you can come up with a whole bunch of things, and every one of us can come up with something different. But if we read these scriptures for what they say, oh man, we got a whole new thing here. We got what the Bible intended, and that's the word of God speaking to our lives. But we have to agree with it. We have to accept it. We have to run with it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So turn with me to John 14:7 and see what God showed only me. Hope you know that's truth. Amen? Praise the Lord. Excuse me. Glory to God. John 14:7. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. Ready to go. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. This is such an incredibly important scripture. Jesus was telling them, and what we are going to see is in a minute here, we're going to see a Christian try to interpret what he was saying. But what was he saying? He's saying, if you had seen me, you had seen the Father. In other words, if you look at my life the way that I lived, if you look at the things that I did, you're seeing the Father. What does he mean you're seeing the Father? Does that mean that if Jesus had a thick curly beard and he looked Jewish and he had long hair and he wore sandals, that if you look upon him, that you're seeing exactly what God looks like? No, that's not what he's talking about. It's obvious he's not talking about that. What he's talking about is his manner of living, his life, the things that, and he's going to explain all this, amen? But if you had known me, you would have known my Father. also. Well, he didn't see her. He said no. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Amen. Glory to God. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is sufficient for us. There it is. Philip's trying to interpret what Jesus was just saying. Jesus is saying, don't interpret what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. And what I'm saying is truth. See, this is the thing. This is where people get so confused, and I don't really get it. I don't really understand it. But folks, as Christians, as believers, as purveyors of truth, as holders of the truth, we have to understand what we're reading. In other words, we have to know that when Jesus said something, he meant it. That's what he meant. If he told a parable, he explained what the parable meant. Praise the Lord. You know, if he said, you know, if he was talking about a farmer in a field and he was talking about crops and all these things, he was pointing to something, another thing. But this, he's not doing that. This, he's saying, if you've seen me or if you've known me, you've known the Father. If you've known, if you've spent time with me, then you understand who the Father is. Glory to God. One of the things I love, and we know this in humanity, you know, some of us know each other very well, and some of us know each other okay. Some of us may not know each other barely at all. If you don't know somebody barely at all, it's very difficult for you to make a judgment call, isn't it? You can, and one thing that I've learned is that, you know, and this is what people are doing out there, in this world that is so accepting and so so full of tolerance, glory to God, people look at everything people do, and they make judgment calls about that person's life based on a thing that was said, based on a thing that was done. There's this big thing right now where they're arguing over, you know, I think Facebook or something like that. You know, is one person is coming up with political ads, and they're manipulating the ads in a certain way to make them sound like something. And guess what? The other party is doing the same thing too. Well, with one party, it's okay. With one party, it's not. The truth is it's never okay. It's not okay to take words of somebody else ever out of context, manipulate them into something else. But see, the masses of people believe that garbage because they're fools. The masses of people don't accept the truth. See, this is why teaching the truth is so important. Because when you understand that the truth is not malleable, but the truth is an absolute set in stone, is concrete, it is a rock, you can't move it. When you understand that about truth, it makes a lot of things a lot easier. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So he said, Lord, show us the Father and it's sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So he's repeating himself here and making it an absolute. This is what I don't get about modern day Christianity. Because we see what Jesus did. We see how Jesus lived. And yet we still disconnect today from that. They say, well, God don't do those things anymore. That's your own head. That's your own mind. That's your own ideas. There's no truth in your ideas. Not unless they line up with the Word of God. What did Jesus say? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you looked at my life, you've seen what the Father, you see the desires of the Father. And he goes on to say here, praise the Lord. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. And so what Jesus is telling us there is that he is the physical manifestation. He is the faith of the Father. He's the title deed of who the Father is. Jesus' life is the title deed. This tells you all that you need to know. This is the proof. This is the absolute. Yes. So he's saying why Jesus was doing this is because he was trying to establish in his people. He was trying to establish him in them. No more arguments about what God wants. No more arguments about what God will do or what God won't do. No more arguments about this. If you've seen my life, if you've known my life, then you understand God. Because my life is a reflection of God on the earth. It is the title deed. It is the manifestation. Faith in Christ is faith in the Father. You can't have one without the other, and you have to understand one to understand the other. if you understand that Jesus didn't come to put people in bondage but to set people free, then you also have to understand that it is the will of Father to not be in bondage but to be set free. Glory to God. See, the plan of God is not difficult. But the plan of God is based on our understanding of who God is. God is not hiding it from you. He is not keeping it from you. But if you won't accept the simple things about God, you can't accept the more in-depth things. You will never know the Spirit because you won't be able to test it. How do you test the spirits? When you think you got an idea, man, this came from inside and I had this feeling and it was all fuzzy feeling and I feel really good. So this has got to be God. Does it line up with who God is? And if it doesn't, you've tested the Spirit. Praise the Lord. If you looked at it and said, well, excuse me, this isn't God. God wouldn't say something like this. You know what I mean? Like if all of a sudden you're like, well, God called me a miserable wretch. Oh yeah, did he do that? Yeah, where? Where did he look at you and say, you're worthless, you're not worth my time, you're not worth, God's never said that about anybody. But you know how many Christians believe that about themselves? See, this is a cycle of getting caught up in sin or something like that, because that's what sin does, is sin perpetuates in a human, sin perpetuates this idea of lost, of being disconnected and be separated from the Father. This is why somebody who's caught up in sin is caught up in something that keeps them away from God. It's not even the sin so much that keeps them away from God. But you know what I mean? In the sense that God is just like, he wants to throw you out because you're sinful. Because Jesus' blood is actually there to ensure that we can get that wiped clean. Amen? Yeah. But in the human mind, what it does is it keeps you away from God. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. And so he says, the words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Glory to God. And now he goes right on to this, and this is so important. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what we have to know about the plan of God. So if that, you can say, then this. Most assuredly. Now, Jesus, you know, when he talks, he says, this is truth, this is truth, this is truth. And every once in a while, he pulls out a most assuredly. So think about this. It was important enough to Jesus. He knew that he needed to magnify his speech at this point to drive something home. So he's already repeated several times that I do the works of the Father, that if you see me, you've seen the Father. If you've known me, you've known the Father. He's repeated these ideas and these concepts several times. And now he goes on and throws out a most assuredly. When Jesus throws out but people are going to argue this. There may be someone of you in here that have a hard time with what we're about to read. I want you to think about that. If you have a hard time with that, it's because something in you is resisting the truth, but it is not because the truth does not mean what it means. Jesus said, most assuredly. Now, if you are most assured, as opposed to being less assured, the thing that you know is that when you're very assured, there's some things that I'm assured of. There are some things I'm not so assured of. But then there are some things that I'm very assured of. You have anything in your life you're very assured of? Praise the Lord. You are very assured that if you come to a church or a sermon that I am preaching, it's going to be phenomenal. Praise the Lord. Glory, that's a joke. Hallelujah. By God's grace in my life, we'll get something done. Amen. But seriously, though, if you are most assured about something, that means that there is no doubt in your mind. There is no changing it. There is no variation of it. Yeah. I'll tell you something I'm most assured about. I am most assured that I am a man. Yeah. Most assured of it. You know, I've never had doubts, but I know this as an absolute fact that if I come to a day where I have a doubt, because of my most assuredness, I know how to figure it out. Amen? I know what I am. You can't change that in me. Most assured. Something else I'm most assured of? Is that my wife is not a man. My wife is a woman. I'm most assured of it. And I could tell you how, but I'm not going to, amen? Because that would take this in a whole different direction, amen? Praise the Lord. But we are most assured of this, of each other. Like, there's never a question. We don't have a day when we're like, oh my gosh. You know, we never have a lost car key days when it comes to our biological makeup, amen? We never have these days where we wake up and we're like, where did I put the keys? No, because we always know right where the keys are, if you know what I'm saying, amen? We know where the keys are, we know what they do. We're most assured of these things. I know this is funny, and I know it, but I'm trying to drive something home to you. When Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, you got to believe it. Yeah. There's no variation in it. And if there's variation in it, you need to fix your thinking and get it right, because he said it's most assured. Well, praise the Lord. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he didn't say the disciples that believed in me. He didn't say the Baptists that believe in me. He didn't say the Pentecostals that believed in me. He said, he who believes in me. Praise the Lord. Now, we know the way that it's written because of the time when this Bible was translated, you know, but it's not just he, it means she as well. Okay, we understand that. Glory to God. But he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, most assuredly, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And now he repeats himself, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Yeah. Folks, I'm gonna present something to you. We don't see the works of Jesus today. And I dare say, since the disciples have gone home at least, or the early church has died out, or passed on, or whatever those people have passed on, the early church fathers, we don't see these types of things anymore. And the reason is because somewhere along the lines, Christians thought that most assuredly didn't mean most assuredly. He said, the works that I do, you will do. And greater ones, you will do. That's a faith statement. When you say, I don't know if I can do that. That's not faith. He said, will do. He didn't say, maybe will do. He didn't say, could do. He said, will do. You will do them. But you got to believe it. And see, this is the thing that we got to be open to. Now, of course, we got a whole lot. First, we got to start with we got to go back to the basics. We got to go back to the basic faith, the basic premises of our faith, and get them so ingrained in us that when we read this scripture, that the works that I do, you will do, that when we read that scripture, it's not even a thought. It's like, yes, of course it is. Of course, Jesus, that's what you said. See, if we can't come to this scripture and read it that way, we're not ready to do those works. And the reason we're not ready to do those works is because we don't believe the very, very basics of who God is. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. And then he goes right on to say, if you love me, keep my commandments. Praise the Lord. Am I reading? Yeah, I'm reading through verse 18. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Let me ask you this. Ask any Christian church, denomination, whatever, pastor, or whatever. Has the Holy Spirit left the earth? If the answer to that question is yes, then we can say maybe that this stuff has passed on. But the very premise, the very idea of the Holy Spirit, when we read, go continue on to read in chapters 15 and 16, praise the Lord, we read about the Holy Spirit. The very idea of what he does is leading us into these works. In fact, we see that in Acts, where Jesus said, because if you question all that, when we know that Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power, where the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And then all this stuff will happen, right? Yeah. Glory to God. So we read in Acts what that looks like. In case you didn't believe, in case you didn't understand here, he gives us an example of what it looks like. But people reject it. You know why they reject it? Because it takes faith to believe these things. It takes belief in your heart. It takes an assurance on the inside of you to say these works will happen, not might happen, not could happen. I'm not maybe going to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, because this is exactly who God has made me to be. When you can get to the place where you believe that without a thought, then you'll be ready to see these things manifest in your life. Glory to God. Christians must return to a place where they understand this basic truth, that Jesus was the embodiment of the Father's will. We have to return to that. Folks, if we question anything about our faith outside of what Jesus did, then we question whether or not Jesus was the embodiment of the Father's will. Because the Bible tells us that he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. And if he does not change, if his will does not change, then Jesus Christ was the embodiment of God's will. And unless we believe that, we cannot see that. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, you cannot receive. With faith, the elders obtained a testimony. Without faith, the kids did not. Do you understand what I'm saying? The next generation did not obtain it because they didn't have the faith to obtain it. Because at some point, people laid it down. We are not going to lay hands on people and see the sick recover unless you believe with everything that is in you when you lay hands on the sick that they will recover. You remember when they found the man laying there and they said, silver and gold, the beggar there, and they said, silver and gold we do not have, but such as we have, we give you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. You notice there was no hesitation. They weren't sitting there going, let's see now. What did Jesus tell me? What did Jesus do? He saw people, and then he laid hands on them. He did things. He followed the Spirit. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if it'll happen. See, that line of thinking or that way of thinking, you haven't gone back to the basics. You have to go back and start believing. You have to saturate yourself with the idea that Jesus, everything that he did, was the very embodiment of the Father's will. What he said, what he did, and what he commanded. Amen. Glory to God. This is something that we know about Christ. God's plan was not automatic in his life. God's plan unfolded in Jesus' life as he stepped out and lived for him. I'm going to put something before you. God's plan for your life will unfold as you step out and live for him. But if you stay where you've always been, if you stay who you always were, if you think the way you always thought, then you will never step out. You will never turn the page. You will never get to chapter 2. You will not pass go. You will not collect $200. Praise the Lord. That's just the way that it's going to work. The church, I dare believe, or would dare say, that for most of the last 2,000 years, the church has been in a holding pattern. The church hasn't taken off because they don't think that they can fly. The church hasn't gone on to the greater works because they believe they passed away. We're not going to see it. We know this. When we read, there's a reason there's an entire chapter given to us about faith. There's a reason for that. And it explains in detail what faith was and what faith wasn't. It gives us details on it. If we can't look at that and then understand faith, we're still back at square one. We haven't even got through the introduction yet. We haven't even got to chapter 1. Yeah. See, these are basic concepts of the Christian faith that Christians have laid down and stopped believing. They stopped saying it is a matter of a fact. And I hold myself in the same place because we haven't seen these things. Amen? God's plan will unfold in you as you live for him. When you determine that your life is Christ, that your life is hidden in Christ, that your life is no longer your own, that your plans are no longer valid, that your ideas are no longer valid, once you determine these things, then you can start moving forward into the plan of God. But as long as you hold to, well, I'm gonna live this life for me, I'm gonna live this life, I'm gonna try to do good, I'm going to try to be a Christian. I'm going to go to church, but I'm going to, you know, I've got these plans and I want to see these things by this time and this is what I'll do. Yeah. Guess what, folks? You never enter in the plan of God. You keep yourself out of it. Even the rejection of what I'm saying right now is keeping you from the plan of God. So if you're listening to this and you hear this and you think, man, but that's so hard. No, it's not hard because you don't have to jump to the end of the book and try to figure it all out. Amen. Have you ever played Clue? One thing I get antsy in Clue. I get a little bit into Clue and I think, I know the answer. I know who it was. I am sure of it most of the time. And because I'm so stinking antsy and I don't want to wait to the end, you know what I do? I jump on it. And almost every single time when I play Clue, I'm the first person out. You know why? Because I'm wrong. Because I think I know and I haven't gotten enough of the clues yet. I haven't got enough of the pieces yet. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. If that teaches you anything, glory to God. Turn with me, Turn with me to Deuteronomy 30. We're gonna solidify some of this right here. Okay, Deuteronomy 30. Praise God, hallelujah. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11 through 14. Okay, this is what it says. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into the heavens, heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. So, This is talking about the commandment of the Lord, what he's commanding people to do. Now, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So this applies to the same concept, the same idea, right? So he's saying the commands, the things that I tell you, they're not so mysterious. It's not something you can't understand. See, when people are running around trying to figure out who the heck they are, they're getting into that realm of mystery. You're not going to figure yourself out. Your body is born into sin. It's going to want to do things that you aren't going to understand why it want to do it. You ever thought about that? You ever looked at somebody like, why would they do that? Because they're full of sin. You know what I mean? Our bodies, our natural bodies, they have sin and they gravitate towards sin. They do things that don't make sense. But see, God said his plan, it's not his commandments, the things that God wants you to do, they're not so mysterious, they're not up in heaven, you haven't got to like pray heaven and earth together, make sure it happens, praise the Lord. You ain't got to go, this minister's over here, I got to go sit and listen to them because they're going to have the plan. Now listen, I am not talking about don't pray, and I'm not saying don't sit in church. But I'm saying that the basic of God's plan for your life is not somewhere out there that you have to, the Bible says to seek and you'll find and all this stuff. And it doesn't mean that you have to when you seek, the first thing you need to do is put your thinking cap on, start thinking where you're going to find it. Amen? Where you find it is in the truth of God. Now let's go to verse 14, because I stopped there for a purpose. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Do you know what the word is that's in you? It's your yes. It's your yes to God. It's in you to say, yep, I'll do it. Now's the time. Now I'm going to listen. This time I'll listen. You know how many times I've gone to God and said, this time I'll listen, and didn't? But you know what I still do? I go to God and say, this time I'll listen. You know why? Because yesterday don't matter anymore. All that matters is what I decide right now. And maybe it'll take me 20 times. You know, when I was a smoker, it took me, I quit dozens of times. If I had quit quitting, I would have never quit permanently. That's the truth. And every time I failed, I would get down on myself. And I'd think, well, why I didn't do it this time? You know, when I was early on, when I was a Christian living for the Lord, when I was going to family church and I was trying to get my life right and get things in order, my life was far from right and it was far from in order. But I was trying to get it there, and I didn't even know why. I didn't know I was called a pastor yet, but I just knew I needed to get right. And man, I just wanted to be right with God for once. I wanted to do things right, and I kept screwing up. And I remember so clearly, this is one of the first times early on when God actually heard his voice speak to me. I was driving down the street. I remember right where I was. It was right in front of Chet's Mobile it was 6th Street, praise the Lord. 6th Street right there? 5th. 5th going towards the house. 5th. Yeah, right, Chet's Mobile, 5th and Main Street, or Washington. 5th and Washington Street. I remember where it was. I just don't remember the names, okay? But I was right in there, and I remember I was getting down on myself, and I was just thinking, I can't even remember what I screwed up on, but I just remember I keep screwing up, and every time I'm a bad witness, and I'm never going to get anywhere. How am I ever going to do anything good for God? I didn't even know what God wanted me to do, but I couldn't even do that. Amen. And that's where I was. And I remember the voice of the Lord spoke to me right there in front of Chet's Mobile. As Reverend Greer would say, you'd have to be in front of Chet's Mobile if you want to hear God, right? Praise the Lord. Love Reverend Greer. Glory to God. But I was right. And the voice of God spoke to me, and he said, you need to get over yourself, because if you don't, I will never be able to use you. That's what he said to me. And I understood exactly what he meant. What he meant was stop wallowing in self-pity. Realize that you can't do it, but just depend on me. Get over you, who you are, or who you think you are, or who you think you need to be. And I will help you if your heart is right. And he didn't say all that, but you understand. I understood that that's what he was speaking to me at that time. And it was at that point that I made a change in my life. It marked me, and I said, you know what? I'm going to live for God. I'm just going to keep running at it. And if I fall down, I'm going to get up and run at it again. Amen. I'm not going to quit quitting. I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit this life of sin. I'm going to quit this, you know, doing these things. And eventually I did. Pretty soon things that I found hard were easy. You know why? Because I just kept running at it. Because I knew that God, I believed this one thing, that God had a plan for me, that his word was truth, and that if I didn't break away from it, that if I stayed with it, that I had to get where he said I could go. I had to. You know why I said I had to? Because I had no other hope. I had gotten to a place in my life where there was no other hope. I knew I couldn't do it. I knew that nothing I did was good. I was never going to get there. And the only way I could get there is by his ability. And all I had was his promise that said that I could. And if I stood with his promise that said that I could, and if I kept going, that he would keep me going in that direction. And guess what? I started walking out the plan of God for my life, even in that moment. I'm not saying I wasn't before, but I continued on to the next page. Praise the Lord. If you're flipping the pages and you get hung up on a word that's so big, you could spend the rest of your life trying to figure out what that word is, or you could just go on to the next chapter. You could go on to the next thing. You'd say, well, that doesn't make much sense what's happening here in the story. Well, there's more to the story. So you got to keep going. But you got to determine in yourself that God's word, number one, is truth. And that what Jesus said was a matter of a fact. I have not seen blind eyes open yet, but I'm telling you as a matter of a fact, I will. I have not seen people be restored the way that Jesus saw people restored yet, but I'm telling you as a matter of a fact, I will. Amen. I have not seen the glory of the God in the land of the living the way the Bible has described it, but I'm telling you as a matter of fact, I will. I have not seen the fullness of God's Spirit change a town like Cory, Pennsylvania, but I'm telling you as a matter of a fact, I will. And you will too if you continue in the truth. The truth is God's word that says we will go on and do all that God says because he said so, not because I did. Because it doesn't matter what I can figure out. It only matters what he guarantees. We go on into the truth. We go on to the fullness. And folks, this is where we're headed. I said, this is where we're headed. I am not telling you because I've seen it. I'm telling you because I know it. I'm telling you because Jesus said it. I'm telling you because the apostles said it. The word of God said it. And I'm telling you right now because the Holy Spirit is telling you and telling me right now that this is the future. The future is walking in the plan of God in a way that the world has not seen in over 2,000 years. Matter of a fact. Hold on and see. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, I suppose that's all good. Man, I love the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Man, I wish I could just put it on like that. We're going to close with Luke 9. I know we're right over, but we're just going to go on over, right? This is closing right here, Luke 9 and 10. Real simple. Simple instruction. This is it. So this is the manifestation. How do we get there, Pastor Jeff? This is how we get there. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given. Yep. Or it says, well, actually it says, yeah, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, it will be open. Doesn't say it might be. It said will be. It's a matter of a fact. Maybe that's what this message should have been called. Matter of fact. Don't change it, but I'm just saying. Praise the Lord. It's a matter of fact. Ask, seek, and knock. If you care to see it, you will. Turn the page. Get into it, man. Bob Seger, turn the page. We can turn the page too. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, some of you know what I'm talking about, but some of you don't. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Let's go on through and get everything that God has for us. Let's go into it. As a matter of fact, we're going into all that God has. Listen, I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. So you know you're stirred today. You might wake up tomorrow with some fire in your pants. Yeah, not in a bad way. You know, like, I mean, get you out the door. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. It wasn't because you had Mexican the night before. Praise the Lord. But you're gonna go into all that God has for you. Praise the Lord. You might be ready to get it tomorrow. But listen, I say we have to start somewhere. Let's start tonight. Amen.